Start me up.
Craig's here. He started us up. We're starting. We're starting episode 58 of TH Fantasy. How's it going, Ryan?
Going good. Just finished doing a bunch of recording with Wally and Josh.
Yeah, these Saturday marathon days, they're tough, but
yeah,
you know.
Got some. I think we're going to do pretty well this week, hopefully.
Yeah, we'll see. I feel like my favorite time to be a sports bettor is like between when we're done recording and when the games start on Sunday.
Right.
Yeah, we're going to kill it this week.
Yep.
So we were good last week. Our super flex lineup didn't cash, but we're going to build one this week that's going to cash for sure. But let's do our 58s. So, Ryan, why don't you start with your 58 of the week?
Sure. I actually did a couple guys this week because there wasn't like any crazy stories I found. And so my one guy, my first guy, will be really short. Famous player for the Minnesota Vikings, Wally Hilgenberg.
Oh, okay.
He was born in Iowa, and I picked him because he went to the University of Iowa.
Wally.
Played linebacker and guard. He was selected in the fourth round of the 1964 NFL draft by the Lions. Played for 3 or 4 years, and then he was traded to Pittsburgh, but then was waived and then went over to the Vikings to play through 1979. So he played like 11 or 12 years with the Vikings. He's one of 11 players to appear in all four Vikings Super Bowls in the 70s.
Okay.
And circling back, he died at age 66 from what doctors thought was ALS. Okay. And as we all know, CTE mirrors ALS symptoms because it just eats away your brain. So upon his autopsy, they figured out that it was not ALS, it was CTE that killed him.
That fucking sucks.
Just another player that I found during research that was in the early stages in helping doctors diagnose this horrible disorder.
Yeah, that is bad. So you have another one too, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Run it back. Keep going.
Okay. My next one, we got Famous Bear. Famous because he was on the 1985 Super Bowl team.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Wilbur Marshall.
Wilbur.
Yeah, that's right. He actually has two Super Bowl wins. One with the Bears in 85, like I said, and the other with the Redskins in 1991.
Oh, yeah.
Because he didn't play for the Bears too much after 85. He was, I think, after 85.
He was one of the first ever big free agents.
Okay.
And yeah, that was when you had to, like, if you signed a free agent, you had to give his former team compensation. The Bears got picks for Wilbur Marshall.
Damn.
Yeah. Like, Washington, the Commanders, he was a big part of their Super Bowl winning defense.
Yeah. Well, he had, like, a huge play in that Super Bowl. Bears defensive end Richard Dent sacked the quarterback. Or no, what was this? What game was this? Yeah, the NFC Championship game. Sorry.
Oh, that was the dude. This is like the most iconic play in Bears history.
Yeah, he defensive end Richard Dent sacked Dieter Brock, causing him to fumble the ball. Then Marshall picked up the loose ball and ran 52 yards with the refrigerator. Through the falling snow, and scored a touchdown. They beat the Rams 24-0.
That was the icing score of the game, and it was a defensive touchdown in the snow. Like, it's one of the most iconic moments in Bears history.
Yeah, and in the Super Bowl, it says he got a sack and recovered a fumble.
He sure did. A Richard Dent forced fumble.
Yep.
All right.
Hell yeah, Wilbur.
He went to high school in Titusville, Florida. This is an interesting fact I saw. And guess who his high school quarterback was when he his freshman year?
Okay,
famous announcer.
Announcer?
Yeah, famous announcer.
Is it John Elway?
No, I'll give it away. It's Mr. Chris Collinsworth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting fact.
Yeah, I thought it was Al Michaels.
After football, he kind of had a bunch of injuries and stuff, and he actually took the NFL and the Bears and the Redskins to court. He actually won a dispute over his entitlement to disability benefits.
Oh.
But he had filed for bankruptcy already due to legal and medical expenses and actually refused to appear at the 25th anniversary celebration for the Bears.
The 85 team?
Oh. Yeah, for the 85 team due to disagreements with the franchise owners and.
Wow.
Yeah, over his treatment through the whole thing. So,
damn.
I don't know if he was the only one to not be there. I mean, I guess some people had passed away, maybe, but yeah. He was probably the only person that didn't go because didn't agree with the team.
That's wild.
Yeah. So that's Mr. Marshall.
Wilbur Marshall. He was one of the best, man. He was versatile. All right. So. My 58 is about a guy, but really it's more about a cool game that I was reading about, all right? So, yeah, so the guy is a guy named Monty Johnson. He was a linebacker who played for Oakland from 73 through 1980.
Okay.
Something that I thought it was pretty weird, he was drafted in the second round as a linebacker, but he was never a starter in college.
Really?
Yeah, he was part of like a linebacker rotation, and he wasn't a starter, but it was still a second-round pick. He won two national championships when he was there in Nebraska, and then he won a Super Bowl with the Raiders. And awesome. Apparently, listen to this shit, apparently in a playoff game, he broke a vertebra and what? Still managed to play the entire game and make 22 tackles.
What the hell?
Yeah. All right. So this game is one of the more famous ones in NFL history, and I didn't know anything about it. So we're going to talk about it. It's a double overtime playoff Raiders victory over the Baltimore Colts in a game that's called Ghost to the Post among NFL historians.
What year was that?
This is 77.
Okay.
So Raiders and Colts. They're in Maryland, so it's a road game for the Raiders. Baltimore is up 10-7 at halftime because there's like a long pick six in the second quarter. And the second half goes nuts. The Raiders score on their first drive of the third quarter. The Colts run the following kickoff back for a touchdown.
Damn.
There's a blocked punt in this game that leads to an eventual Oakland touchdown. The ball was blocked by Ted Hendricks, a.k.a. the Mad Stork.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
So in the fourth quarter, Baltimore goes up 7 with 8 minutes left. Eventually, the Raiders have the ball down with a touchdown with less than 3 minutes to go. So there's 2:17 left. The ball's on the Colts 44-yard line. John Madden has the quarterback, Ken Stabler, call a play where two routes are in underneath and then a post route deep.
Okay.
Offensive coordinator Tom Flores said the ball is supposed to go to one of the underneath receivers. But to make sure that Stabler looked at tight end Dave Casper, who was running the post route. Okay. Stabler had pointed out earlier in the game the safeties were cheating towards the line earlier in the during the game. And when he saw Casper running free, he threw deep. And the pass fucking sucked. It was a terrible pass. And Casper turns direction and makes like a Willie Mays type over-the-shoulder catch. To get the ball inside the 20. Damn. So the Raiders tie it, take it to overtime, take it to double overtime, and win 37-31 on a Dave Casper 10-yard touchdown catch.
Hell yeah.
According to Casper, The ghost to the post play was one of their best and most effective plays all season, but he had never caught a pass running that play before.
Really?
Yeah. This double overtime game is still to this day the fifth longest game in NFL history.
And, oh, for real?
Yep. And our number 58, Monte Johnson, broke a vertebrae in regulation, played the rest of the game, and made 22 total tackles.
That's ridiculous.
So that's my number 58, Monte Johnson and Ghost to the Post.
Did it say what vertebrae it was?
I have no clue. I just saw that and was just winced.
Well, it's obviously not the first through the seventh, because if you break one of those, you're paralyzed. So,
right. I'm sure it's just like, no, I'm fine. I'm fine.
That's crazy.
But, yeah. All right. So we're going to break for commercial, and we'll come back and do some buy low early bounce back candidates. And yeah, we'll see you soon.
Hey, man. Do you want to grow up to be big, strong, cool, and completely locked to your couch for 7 to 10 hours every Sunday like your heroes at the TH Fantasy Podcast Network? Have you considered Weed Man? Well, now you can with the limited edition TH Fantasy Vape Strains. We have 5 unreal flavors for you. We've got Eric Kush, Derrick Henry Diesel, that Justin Jefferson catch against Buffalo OG, Strawberry Herbert, and Amon-Ra Dank Brown.
That's right.
We've partnered with the fine folks at, Weed to bring you some uniquely branded vape pens. Each pen is designed with collectible art, which is mostly just pictures of Ryan fishing or that cool S thing that everyone drew in their notebooks in middle school. TH Fantasy Vape Pens, putting the THC in TH Fantasy.
And we're back.
We're back, baby. All right, so it's week 10. Man, this week's been, like, this season's been flying by, huh?
It happens every year. Like, I hate it. Like, you get so pumped up to watch football, and you're like, yes, this is going to be awesome. And it's already almost Thanksgiving.
Yep. As a teacher, you know, like, first semester is always fine. Like, August through the end of the year, I'm always like, I got football, I'm busy, who cares? It's the second part. It's like when you hit, like, February, March, and April, and there's no anything.
Right. Yep.
So we're already preparing for the cold, dark depths of winter, spring, and summer. And we're looking at 2023 way too early buy low bounce back candidates. Now, we don't need to get too far in depth into this because I want to talk more about what's coming up this week. But we each have a couple guys that we think are bounce back candidates that we can look forward to this year. And so, Ryan, why don't you start us off? Who's someone you're looking to buy going into 2023?
Yeah, some guys who I might like for redraft leagues next year. Both of my guys that I'm going to talk about, we really don't know their quarterback situations, I don't think, for next year.
Okay.
But the first guy who's just been extremely blah, like who we thought, like we were super high on in the offseason, Michael Pittman.
Yeah.
He's just been not even average, just like getting like 5-6 fantasy points a game. I think he still has a lot of potential to do a lot in Indianapolis or wherever he goes with his future endeavors, but something's got to happen with the quarterback situation, and I don't know what happened. I thought Matt Ryan was going to be an awesome fit for that team.
He still might be.
But yeah, I think I'm not calling it quits on Pittman. I might still want him next year.
Okay. I'm going to go with kind of a weird one to start, actually. It's a guy that he's going to be a buy low option simply because he hasn't played it all this year and won't play it all this year. I'm looking to buy Tim Patrick next year.
Excellent. Yeah, I mean, I liked him last year a lot. He was doing really good with a lot of deep passes
Tim Patrick is the guy that I think Russell Wilson would play best with. And I think this offense actually struggles a lot without Tim Patrick. And
sure.
They gave him that big extension for a reason. They're going to use him. Like, he's going to be their other outside guy when when he comes back and Sutton's manning the other side, you got Judy in the slot. That offense, I mean,
right.
It gets better if they invest in the offensive line and they get healthy. Yeah. That offense is good again. So Tim Patrick's one of my buy low early candidates this year.
I believe it. KJ Hamler's not cutting it. He was supposed to be his like downfield, stretch the field replacement, but
yeah, he left the mustard uncut. It's uncut mustard.
No, he stone ground it.
All right, who you got, Ryan?
So my next guy, actually, he had a really good game on Thursday, and I had already written that down because you texted me, I think, Wednesday or maybe Thursday morning, and I wrote him down as Mr. Treylon Burks.
There he is, baby.
He hasn't got a lot of chance to play this year because of injury, and like I said, we don't know who's going to be... How much time is left on Tannehill's contract?
I think he's got another year after this one.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Okay. But, I mean, Thursday's game, he looked really good.
He did.
Really good. And so kind of didn't look really good the first bit of the season that he got to play. Then he got injured. But as long as he doesn't explode, then I guess he's not one of these candidates we're talking about. But I think he's just going to be kind of meh in that offense, kind of blah.
Okay.
But I think he has a chance to explode next year.
I think he does too. I'm going to go and take the obvious route here and go with Kyle Pitts.
Okay.
Yeah,
I mean, we're all hoping that he would be something this year. And
he's, and you know what? It's clearly not his fault.
No, it's definitely the fact that they brought in Marcus Mariota to be their starting quarterback. I mean, they didn't have a lot of options, but come on.
And at some point, talent wins out. You know, it's the same argument that we made all offseason about Justin Fields. Talent wins out.
Right.
And so I think Pitts is a buy low candidate, and there's no, I mean, he's like I was saying during the recording earlier, of all players with more than 50 targets, Kyle Pitts has seen the fewest catchable passes.
Yeah, that's true. Well, what do you think Atlanta's going to try and do in the offseason? They're going to rely on Ridder as their future, or
I think we see Ridder for at least 4 games this year. Once Atlanta's out of the playoff chase,
sure.
Then I think we see Ridder.
Atlanta's not 500 yet, right? They're like
no
3-5 or something, right?
I think it might be 3-6.
3-6,
maybe 4-5. So those are my early bounce back candidates. Let's move on. We got 5 parts today, so let's move on to our favorite segment.
Ryan's mid tier, kind of shitty tight end of the week.
Week. So I got some interesting ones this week. One might seem obvious. Trey McBride. I mean, Ertz is out for indefinitely, it says.
Yep.
So
IR.
I think Trey McBride, he's right around 4,500, 4,600. He's got a chance to emerge as... I mean, let's give him a shot. Let's see what he can do. He's, you know, one of the best tight ends from this draft class this year. Let's see what he can do. I think he's got a chance for a touchdown.
I totally see that.
Another guy that's on my radar who he was working that rule of three in Indianapolis, uh-huh. But he had a great game last week. He didn't catch any touchdowns, but he had 4 catches for 57 yards. Kylan Granson.
Yeah. Breaking tackles out there.
He's going to be on my radar. But as long as Matt Ryan and the new coach, and they're going to try and just do everything through Jonathan Taylor, I think. But he's getting involved at least, so that's promising. I don't think Mo'Ali Cox is back yet. I'm not sure. But anyway, Kylan Granson.
I love Kylan Granson. I think that's a great play. And the run always sets up the play action.
Right. And my last super cheap tight end, who's bound to be more expensive next week. We've got Dallas Goedert out in Philadelphia. So guess who it is this week?
I think I know.
Mr. Grant Calcaterra.
There we go.
He's already caught a touchdown this year. So he's proven that he at least kind of knows what's going on. He's gotten to study under Goddard for most of the season. He hasn't been injured. So let's give him a shot. I think he can get a touchdown this week.
Okay.
Mr. Grant Calcaterra.
Love it. Those are Ryan's three plays of the week. I'm going to give you... So, okay, I got lucky this week, man. Jamal Agnew is on a bye.
Ooh.
So, like, finally, I don't have to get a guy that's, like, $4,500 on FanDuel.
Right.
But I found someone who's five grand on FanDuel. They play Monday night, just like yours, and it's Elijah Mitchell.
Okay.
Elijah Mitchell in his first game back, 18 carries, 89 yards, and one catch for minus 1 yard.
Yeah, I was shocked by his usage with McCaffrey, but...
Yep, this backfield is much more of a timeshare than I wish it was.
Yeah, well, and I think it's also a product of Shanahan's constant running offense, but yeah.
Well, so it would make sense... for them to run CMC into the ground because he's their best player in that backfield. But sure. If you look at how bad the NFC is, they're saving it for the playoffs. Like, Mitchell's going to be splitting carries until CMC is needed to be the main guy. And
That's a very good point.
I see, like, there's a difference. You have to pay attention to how real football is played when you're thinking about fantasy. Like, He's gonna need to be fresh for the playoffs. He's a guy they traded a bunch of assets for with a long injury history. You want him for those four games in January more than you want him for these games in November. So I think Elijah Mitchell's gonna get another 15 to 20 carries this week and maybe scores a touchdown.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So that's my Jamal Agnew line, $5,000 FanDuel play. When I do like Monday night single entry lineups, I'm definitely putting Elijah Mitchell in a lot of them because he's going to be cheap.
Yeah, that's going to save a lot of money.
It is. So my last segment is a new one before we build a super flex lineup. It's a really short segment. You ready, Ryan?
Let's do it.
The segment is this week a Kadarius Toney week or not? I vote yes.
I'm voting yes, too. You got Schuster out. You got Hardman out. They're kind of down to their... He's going to have to be a viable option for them.
Yep.
And if he doesn't produce, I don't know who else is going to be thrown to. I mean,
I also agree this is a Kadarius Toney week. So that's part 5. Let's build a super flex lineup, Ryan. I'm ready to go whenever you are.
Sure. I mean, are we doing the same one like normal, the $5 single?
$5 single entry, my friend. Now, Ryan brings up a good point. He's like, look, if all we need to do is hit on our quarterbacks, then the money's in the bank.
True.
So, who are we rolling with, Ryan? Who's your quarterback?
I think we got to get Mahomes.
Okay.
For this week. It's just too consistent.
Who are you pairing him with?
I mean, either Kelce or Toney.
So I want to go Fields Mooney. And since Mooney is cheap, we can go Kelce at tight end.
All right, let's put Kelce. Fields Mooney. Okay.
Now, who do you like as a... We need to save some scratch here before we look at running backs. Or do you want to go running back next?
I think we need to pay up at running back. So let's see if we can find some cheaper options at wideout.
I mean, like I said earlier, I love Slayton. Slayton 6,300.
63.
I like Duvernay at 6,000. Tony's at 5,800, and we could triple stack. Drake London's 57. Those are all guys I like. Drake London, Kadarius Toney.
Yeah, let's go with, let's go with London. I have a feeling Chicago's gonna take a pretty good lead and they're gonna have to pass.
Let's so we're heavy on Chicago Atlanta in this game. Well, so do you wanna also go super heavy and go Eckler at running back?
I'd rather go Barkley.
I mean, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, let's do it. Don't even worry about getting cute with it.
Right. Now we got 5,500 left.
Which means we need a fairly cheap running back here.
I mean, we could, you know, I don't want to, that's too much.
We need to pay super down at flex to save that second running back spot.
We could get Kareem Hunt.
Hunt's been terrible.
I know.
But if we go flex and we go like, it gets pretty skanky right here. I mean, if we could make it work, we could go Isaiah McKenzie, try to get a share of that Buffalo offense. McKenzie's been out on the field a lot lately.
How much is McKenzie?
McKenzie is... $5,300.
Okay, so let's put... If we put McKenzie in, who do we got? Let's see.
It's still pretty bad.
57 for our running back.
We might have to pay down from Barkley, man.
Let's see.
Because I don't want to start McKenzie and a shitty running back.
Right.
What about Nick Chubb or Ramondre?
Yeah, I was going to say, what do we do with Ramondre?
I love Ramondre.
Sue Stevenson.
Yep.
Ooh, Sanders. I don't like Foreman's matchup this week. Maybe.
Jamal Williams is always a good play.
That is true.
Brian Robinson is down there.
Let's put in Jamal Williams and see if we want to pivot from McKenzie.
Yeah.
So we got 300 left.
So we can get a guy that's 56.
We got Gallup, Jefferson, Moreau, Claypool, Hubbard. There's Pitts.
That's too much
Ryan, from that game.
What do you think about Mac Hollins?
I was on him last week, but then he didn't do shit.
Right, but he's out there constantly. He had 6 targets.
True. I think I would want more exposure to that Buffalo game, though. I think I like McKenzie there.
Yeah?
I mean...
I'm fine with it. We could stick with McKenzie.
Yeah, I mean, he's averaging more points than Hollins anyway, and it's Buffalo. He's going to have a chance to catch one of the 4 or 5 touchdowns they throw.
Okay. All right, so here's our lineup, Ryan. Tell us our lineup.
All right, so we got Patrick Mahomes. We got Ramondre Stevenson. We got Jamal Williams. We got Darnell Mooney. We got Drake London. We got Travis Kelce. We got Isaiah McKenzie and Justin Fields.
That's a fun one.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Let's cash, baby. All right, so we've done our things. I'm excited for our 59 next week. We can't wait to see how our Sundays turn out. Hopefully your Sundays are good. I've got a pretty tough matchup coming up personally. It's going to be a tough one. I need to win out, and my team is getting hit with some buys this week.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. Kirk and ETN are out.
Yeah, I'm already out in Sean's league, so I just started doing some crazy stuff.
I'm starting Paris Campbell this week.
Ooh. Good luck.
Yeah, right. All right, so good night to everyone. I hope your Sundays are positive. I hope you enjoy things, and we'll see you next week.
Yes, happy football Sunday, everyone.
Happy football, happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah, happy Thanksgiving.
Eat a lot of food and pass out. Smoke weed with your uncle.
And watch football.
Yep. Good night.
Good night. Week, 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 week.